My name is Joey Miller, and tonight, with the help of my mom and my pastor, I'd like to share a little bit of our story with you.
Christmas was always a wonderful time of year at our house. My husband, Robert, loved me with all of his heart, and our son, Joey, brought an extra helping of joy to everything we did. My life was all I had prayed it would be, and more.
The Miller family was a glowing beacon of happiness in our church. Every time the church doors were open, they were there.
Every Christmas, Mom bought a big red Christmas candle that she lit at sunset every evening in December. She kept it in our front window so that everyone in the neighborhood could see it.
I let our Christmas candle burn until bedtime every night, and I could usually make one candle last all the way through December.
Sarah Miller was especially gifted in speech and music. So when Joey was about 6 years old, I asked Sarah if she would be in charge of putting together our first ever Christmas program.
Mom never did anything halfway, and the Christmas program was no exception. Before long, just about everyone in the church was involved, and though it was a lot of work, everybody loved it.
The Saturday before Christmas, we had a dress rehearsal that started at noon. To give me some time to collect my thoughts, Robert offered to take Joey out to their favorite pancake house about 10 a.m. Robert was always so thoughtful.
So Dad and I went and got blueberry pancakes and sunny side up eggs. I just loved being with my dad. He was my hero.
The rehearsal went from noon until 3 o'clock, and Sarah ran things like a pro. Before it was over, everyone knew exactly what to do, and I couldn't wait for the Sunday evening performance. We were all so excited.
On Sunday afternoon, we had planned to go get burgers and milkshakes at 4 p.m., but I told Robert and Joy just to go ahead without me. I needed some time alone to pray and review details. At the last minute, I got the idea to take my Christmas candle to church and to put it at the front of the platform. It was the perfect finishing touch.
I remember that first program so vividly. We had borrowed a lamb from a local farmer, and 5 minutes before the program, the lamb started prancing around the stage and entertaining everybody. Oh, it was so much fun.
We had a record attendance that night, and I was so nervous I could hardly sit still. But when Pastor Morgan stood up to welcome everyone, God quieted my spirit and replaced my nervousness with overflowing joy.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the very first Christmas program we've ever attempted here at church. I especially want to thank Sarah Miller for her hard work putting all this together. We definitely could not have done this without her. Now, I'd like to invite you to sit back and enjoy yourself as the choir takes us back in time to that very first Christmas.
Oh, to the manger, down 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 to the manger, all Bethlehem. Down to the manger, all Bethlehem.
Imagine standing with the shepherds as the angels announced the arrival of the Messiah. Imagine traveling with them to the manger and gazing into the face of baby Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What an unbelievable night that must have been.
Joy.
first program was a grand success, and everyone loved it. From then on, Mom was in charge of the Christmas program, and everyone looked forward to it all year long.
Robert and Joy always kept up with Christmas tradition of Saturday 10 a.m. breakfast at the Pancake House and Sunday 4 p.m. supper at their favorite burger place. They grew to be very, very close.
Every morning, after Dad left for work, Mom and I would read through the Bible together. She had us on a schedule where we would read through the entire Bible every year.
I so enjoyed the time that Joy and I had alone reading Scripture. I also would often talk to Joy about trusting Christ as his Savior.
Mom would explain to me that Jesus loved me and died on the cross so that my sins could be washed away.
I would go through all the Bible verses about receiving Christ, but for some reason, Joy always put it off. Joey's salvation became the main focus of my prayers.
As the years passed, the Miller family gradually began to have some struggles. Robert started to drift. No one really knew why, but everyone could see it. Robert was slipping away from his family and from the Lord.
I thought it must be all my fault, and I did everything I could to try to pull him back to the Lord and to us. But nothing seemed to help. When he was home, he was usually on his computer, and Robert's temper began to be a constant problem. The tension in our home was unbearable.
By the time I was 15, my dad was a different person. He was distant, like his mind was somewhere else, and he disappeared a lot. For work, he said, but I was never sure.
I tried to talk to Robert a number of times to see if I could help, but he made it very clear that he didn't want to see me or talk with me.
When December came, I put the Christmas candle in the front window, just like always. I told Joy that every time we saw that candle burning, it could remind us to pray for his dad and not to lose hope that God would work a miracle.
The Sunday of the Christmas program, Dad and I went out for burgers at 4 p.m. like usual, only this time he didn't want to talk. When I asked him questions, he got really mad and told me to mind my own business. When I wouldn't leave him alone, he came down on me with an explosion of words that I will remember for the rest of my life.
When Robert and Joy got back to the church for the program, I knew something was wrong. Joy seemed to be in some kind of a fog, and Robert wore an angry look that was becoming all too familiar. I prayed that the Christmas songs would somehow speak to Robert's heart. Little did I realize that everything was about to change.
Good evening. Welcome to our annual Christmas program. We are delighted you've joined us to celebrate God's gift of His Son. Sing along with us as we welcome the Lord Jesus Christ, the hope of all the world.
Holy infant, so tender.
John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It is important to remember that God first loved us. Tonight, I can assure you that God loves you, no matter who you are, no matter what you've done. God loves you. And tonight, he is reaching out to you in love, saying, "Come to me. Trust my Son to be your Savior. I have provided a way for you to have your sins forgiven. Take my gift of salvation and come be with me forever in heaven." Tonight, God is reaching out to you. Will you receive his gift?
Feeble attempt at an apology, but I knew I'd never forget the things that he said to me that afternoon. And then, by Christmas Day, he was gone. Just like that, he left.
He left.
And suddenly, we were alone.
Our church family encircled us with loving arms and tried to help, but Joey and I were devastated. I cried, but Joey just withdrew into a world of his own making.
My heart broke for Joey and his mom when Robert left them. Our church reached out in every way we could, but a darkness had descended on Joey that would not be lifted.
Two people doesn't feel like a family. Mom had to pick up another job to pay the bills, and I was on my own most of the time. Sure, the church families made an effort, but I didn't want their pity. I didn't want a refrigerator full of casseroles. I just wanted my dad.
Christmas was never the same after that. At first, the Christmas season brought back a flood of painful memories. But as the years passed, the gleam of my Christmas candle reminded me that Jesus, the light of the world, still loved us and would take care of us.
Why did Dad leave? Maybe Mom knew, but she wouldn't say. In the end, I realized it didn't matter why he left, only that he did. The hurtful things he said to me that day of the program kept replaying over and over again in my mind.
I prayed daily for a way to help Joey. He was bewildered and confused at first, but it was swiftly changing to rage right in front of me.
Dad said I was stupid. My grades took a nosedive soon after he left, and before long I was failing half of my classes. He said a lot of other things too, and with one failure after another, I began to prove him right.
Joey started coming home with black eyes and bloody knuckles. I marched him straight into counseling with Pastor Morgan, but that only seemed to make things worse and make him angrier.
I started meeting with Joey every week, but he stonewalled my attempts to help with a mixture of silence and an I don't care attitude.
By the next Christmas, Joey was almost unrecognizable as the sweet little boy I remembered. He was so angry. And no matter how many people were around him, he always seemed alone.
When it came time for the church Christmas program, I couldn't even walk in the door of the church. I know it hurt Mom's feelings, but I skipped her program that night and every Christmas after that. In fact, I boycotted the whole Christmas season. Every decorated tree, every Christmas carol, they all reminded me of my dad. And Mom's Christmas candle glowing in the front window seemed to shine a spotlight in the gaping hole in my heart.
The years passed. Christmas after Christmas, and my heart broke every December when the rest of the world turned merry and Joey retreated a little further inside of himself. By God's grace, we managed to get through him through high school, and while his GPA wouldn't get him into any decent college, at least he had a diploma.
Mom was so relieved when I managed to graduate and so proud of that wretched diploma, as if it would somehow save me. Never mind that my grand destiny was likely to be flipping hamburgers for the rest of my life.
I was genuinely surprised every time Joey showed up at my office, but our counseling sessions were the only thing he never tested his mother on. However, once he turned 18, he disappeared from our church as swiftly as if he'd been swallowed by the shadows that seemed to haunt his soul.
I didn't seek out friends, and honestly, that's probably just as well, since I doubtlessly would have been drawn to the wrong people. But being alone in your own head can be just as destructive. My past was a black hole, my present was no better, and my future was as good as lost too. I was without hope and plunging headlong into darkness, and I knew it.
I worked 60 hours a week just to keep the lights on at home. But in December, I took a little time off to put together the Christmas program, which was always the highlight of my year. I cataloged my life by the songs that we sang. Each one felt like a chapter in a diary. Something new God was teaching me, or another way he was comforting me and giving me hope.
I was stunned when I got the call. It was the day of the Christmas program, and there was Joey Miller on the phone. I hadn't seen him in years. He was in jail for beating a man half to death in a barroom brawl. He'd been in lockup for 2 days. The man he'd assaulted was going to be all right, but this wasn't Joey's first time in jail, and the bail was high, almost to the penny. What I had in my savings.
There were only two people in the world I could think of that would help me, and I just couldn't bring myself to call Mom, so I called Pastor Morgan.
I knew with a groan that the bail amount matching my savings was no coincidence. It was as if the Holy Spirit were whispering in my ear, "You prayed for years for a way to make a difference in this boy's life. Here's your chance."
Pastor came and got me. He didn't lecture at me or preach at me. He told me his only condition for posting my bail was that I attend the church Christmas program. That evening, when I stepped out of the darkness into the glittering light of the church lobby, my chest felt tight, and my stomach was somewhere down in my shoes. Thousands of Christmas lights set the church ablaze, and right at the front of the platform was Mom's Christmas candle. It was exactly the way I remembered it. The last time I'd been at church, on this night, it had been the end of everything.
Joey halted at the entrance to the auditorium and stood there for a moment, as if he were frozen. My own feelings were in turmoil. Should I speak? Should I be silent? For a second, I thought he might turn around and run. But then he took a step into the auditorium and slipped into a back seat.
I thought I was hallucinating when I saw Joey in the back row, sitting at the edge of the shadows with Christmas lights illuminating his face. His usual harsh expression was softer, uncertain. I prayed that God would touch his heart. I prayed that God would yank my boy back to him.
I didn't know what else to do, so I just prayed.
I just prayed.
Good evening. Welcome to our annual Christmas program. Thank you for coming. Let's begin tonight by singing a few familiar carols to begin our time of remembering God's gracious gift of His Son. Jesus came to a world that was lost in sin, a world that was without hope. He came to bring forgiveness and cleansing, love, joy, and peace. He came to a world that was shrouded in darkness and brought glorious light. Tonight, Let's remember that a little over 2,000 years ago, hope was born. Tonight, let us remember the reason why Jesus came to this earth. The Bible tells us that Jesus came to die so that we could be forgiven of our sins and live with Him forever. Galatians 1:4 says that Jesus gave Himself for our sins that He might deliver us from this present evil world. You know, most of us have heard this message so often that perhaps it doesn't touch our hearts the way it really should. Tonight, see Jesus, your Savior, dying where you should have died. Feel the agony He suffered for you. And let's ask God to break our stony hearts.
Within. trusting Christ. Ooh.
Have I no eyes to see that I can stand?
Each song seemed to be aimed at me somehow, and I found myself remembering all the stories about Jesus that I had heard as a child, from the baby in the manger, to the carpenter's shop, to the agony of the cross. I suddenly realized that Joseph kind of disappeared from Jesus' story along the way. When things started getting tough for Jesus, his father wasn't there. Of course, Joseph probably didn't run out on him and Mary, but gone is still gone.
I watched Joey all through the program. I could see the conflicting emotions warring on his face, and I prayed.
And then it hit me like a punch in the stomach that even God abandoned his son. When he was on the cross, Jesus cried out to his father, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The program had ended and I hadn't even noticed. Most of the people were gone and Pastor Morgan was sitting next to me. I turned and bitterly spoke to him. Even God abandoned his son. Is that just what fathers do?
No, Joey. Men fail every day, but God forsook his son so that he wouldn't have to forsake us. He welcomes us all to be his children, and he will never leave us or forsake us. He promised that, and he never breaks his promises. Joy, you don't have to be alone. You have a heavenly father who loves you, a savior who died for you, and you have a mother right here who loves you with every fiber of her being.
Mom was standing there, not saying anything, her eyes all teary. 1,000 tiny Christmas bulbs flared and blurred together in streaks of light. And I realized that I was crying a little bit too. 22 years old and crying like a baby. Mom got all huggy, but for once, I didn't mind. Merry Christmas, Mom, I said. And for the first time since I was 15, I actually meant it.
Merry Christmas, Joey.
I knew what I needed to do, and I asked Pastor Morgan to help me. Jesus had died to save me, and I had rejected him long enough.
Joey was ready to trust Christ as his Savior, and it was a joy to see what Christ was doing in his heart.
As hard as I had prayed for this moment, I still felt like I was living in a dream. My son prayed and asked Jesus to forgive him for his many sins, and then he asked Jesus to cleanse him and to be his Savior.
Again, my mom had her arms around me, and then again, we were both crying. I'll never forget the joy of that moment.
It was one of the sweetest times I've ever witnessed. I had prayed for this miracle for so long, and now God was answering my prayer.
I pled guilty on the assault charges and got 90 days in jail, along with anger management counseling. I didn't let those days go to waste, though. I spent them reading my Bible and praying and writing letters to the people I had hurt, asking for forgiveness.
I got the sweetest letter from Joey apologizing page after page.
I got a letter, too, thanking me for all those years of counseling sessions when he was a teenager. He sure didn't act like it at the time, but as it turns out, those hours really meant something to him, knowing that someone cared, that I hadn't given up on him, that God hadn't given up on him. It made an impact I couldn't see.
The last letter I wrote was to my dad. After I finally found his address, I told him how angry I had been at him and asked him to forgive me. I also told him that I loved him and that I would love to see him again.
And now, Joey and I are both praying for Robert. Every time I light my Christmas candle, I'm reminded that Jesus is the light of the world. And every time I look at Joey, I'm reminded that God still works miracles in people's hearts.
I'm taking night classes at a community college now and studying under Pastor Morgan to be a counselor. I traveled a dark road to get here, but even though I walked through a valley of shadows, God never deserted me. God's word doesn't return void, and prayers to him never go unanswered. I had no hope, but God answered the prayers of a godly pastor and a praying mother, and now my hope is Jesus.
Yeah. Maybe I'd be better off over here.
We're going to get ready to close the service with just a few thoughts on Christmas and the difference between light and darkness. The Bible never tells us when Jesus was born. The chances of him being born in the middle of the winter is probably pretty slim. But years ago in ancient Europe, the nations there celebrated the fact that we're entering the vernal equinox, when the earth in its rotation around the sun has made its journey to where light actually starts coming back to the northern hemisphere. I don't know about you, but I watch it. I like to wait for that sun to return. In fact, this morning we had a beautiful sunrise and I got my video camera out. I like to document our family's activities for the year. I said, this is the last sunrise with the sun going away from us. And as of 2:00 tomorrow morning, the sun will start returning. And the ancients understood that. And so they wanted to lighten their spirits during that dark time of year. And so they started a festival called the Festival of Saturnus. The problem is, in order to bring themselves merriment and good cheer, they drank a lot of alcohol. And it still goes on today. But the early Christians thought, you know what, we can do a whole lot better at celebrating the light coming back to us. And so what better way to celebrate the coming of light, to dispel the darkness, than to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ at about the same time that the light starts coming back. And that's the very reason we celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ at Christmas, when the Bible doesn't tell us when he was born, and likely he wasn't really born at this time of year. But I know every one of us here, we had to have our birthday celebrations postponed because of something else. And you just celebrate it when you can celebrate it. And so what a great time of year for us to celebrate the coming of Jesus Christ. And it actually is connected to the return of the light. You know, this morning we heard a story, I think it's based on a true story, about a young boy that was disheartened by the actions of his father. And because of the actions of his father, he turned to a very dark path. And it took a while before he opened his heart up to the light of Jesus Christ. And as I mentioned before, not every story does have a happy ending. But, you know, we don't have to allow the heartaches of life to ruin us if we put our hope in the light of Jesus Christ. And so in these last few minutes of this morning service, I want to just mention the fact that don't let the darkness get you. Don't let the darkness get you. As our days have been getting dark, it does get you down. And I can understand the ancients wanting to celebrate, to try to lift their spirits a little bit because of the blackness and the darkness of this winter time of year. But you know, the Bible talks about the fact that we have a greater darkness to worry about than the physical darkness of our universe. And our sun, our earth being tilted away from the sun. We have a spiritual darkness that's worse than any physical darkness ever was. The Bible says, the Apostle John says, the light came into the world, but men loved darkness rather than the light because their deeds are evil. Neither come they to the light. It's sad, but the Bible says that we actually like darkness of sin rather than the light of salvation. And only a work of God can change that. You know, we saw this young man in the drama today descend into darkness. It was the darkness of disappointment, and then the darkness of stubbornness, and then the darkness of rebellion. And you know, the Bible talks about the darkness of sin that that men actually love rather than following the light. But you know what? All darkness leads to hell. And the Bible actually describes hell as a place of darkness, which is kind of strange because we see the depictions of hell as flames. And then you think, well, how can you have flames and have it dark? Well, you know, I came across something years ago that If you have a perfect flame, and anyone here who has used a cutting torch, who has been involved in cooking, and you need to worry about the temperature being at just the right temperature, all of a sudden you understand that perfect fire would not have any color to it. If a flame is yellow, it means there's a lot of contaminants in there. And if you're running a cutting torch, you want to get that flame to a blue, almost to where it almost vanishes, and then it'll cut through steel. And so, from a chemical standpoint, a perfect flame would have no color. And it's kind of sad then to think that the Bible describes hell as a place of fire, a place of burning, but a place of intense darkness where there's no light. And we realize that the only thing perfect about hell is the flame, is the heat. Darkness leads to hell. The light leads to salvation. And thank God we celebrate this time of year when Jesus Christ came into this world and the light of Jesus Christ pierced this dark world. And the world has never been the same since, because the hope of Jesus Christ and the hope of glory pierced this dark world. You may be here with us today and your heart may be dark. Maybe you've had disappointments. Maybe you've got sin that you enjoy and you say, you know what, I'm not interested. That's fine. It's a free country. You can do what you want. But you know what? God loves you and so do we. And the greatest time in a person's life, the number one thing, the number one best time in a person's life is when we turn from the darkness of sin and we trust Jesus Christ as our Savior. And I'll tell you what, you never regret it. You never regret it. Now, the sin of this world can be fun. We can have good times. People can have good times and slap each other on the back and laugh and say, this is living. But we will stand before God someday. And God's holiness will not tolerate any darkness. And if a person dies without Christ, the Lord looks at him and says, you know, I've always loved you, but you cannot come into my perfect holy heaven with that sin baggage that you carry. And I'll say this, and I came to this conclusion years ago, there's not one sin in this world worth going to hell for. And when we turn in our faith to Jesus Christ as our Savior, we find what living's all about. A happiness and a joy that fills our life, and no guilt. No guilt. As long as we're following Jesus Christ, there's no guilt. And so as we close out the service today, we witnessed in this drama a young man who let the darkness come into his life. And then one day he woke up and he rejected the darkness and he turned it to the light, Jesus Christ. We as a nation are celebrating the light coming back at this time of year. We're all just a bunch of Romans, actually. But you know, I appreciate the fact that Christians set the example years ago and said, hey, at this time of year, when that light starts coming back, let's celebrate the light coming, Jesus. The light of Jesus coming into this world. And so that is what true Christmas is all about. This world continues to just want to take Christ out of it. It's their loss. It's their loss. We have the hope of the light of Jesus Christ ruling and reigning in our lives, and for that we praise God for it. Let's stand to our feet as we get ready to end the service. Thank you so